Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Pony Stampede podcast. I am your host, Jordan Hofeditz, and we are talking SMU men's basketball. I know that's been a bit of a sore subject this season, and I've tried to write something on this for a little while, and it just kind of comes across as rambling, which somehow seems to work better in podcast form than story or column form. So here's a bit of me rambling about the SMU men's basketball season. We are looking at almost 11 months to the day of Lanier being hired by SMU. It's a little past 11 months to the day that it was announced that Tim Jankovich would not be returning. About month or so after that happened, you had Kendrick Davis and Emmanuel Bandamel transfer to Memphis and Nebraska, respectively. You had the only two members of SMU's signing class be released from their letters of intent and end up elsewhere. Alex Onwemke to Texas and Mahamadou Cisse to St. Louis U. I think it's unfair to put a lot of that on Lanier. I think it was pretty clear Davis was tied to Jankovich, and once Jank was gone, KD was gone as well. I think once McKinney made their run, and Alex was such a big part of that and had some highlight plays, I think his recruiting picked up a little bit there at the very end, and the coaching change was an easy way for him to get out and end up at Texas. Cisse, I'm not as sure on, but my guess is, like it is with recruiting a lot nowadays, it's not necessarily about the school, it's about the coach. And he ended up, he's from Connecticut, he ended up a little bit closer to home in St. Louis as opposed to all the way down in Texas. That left a pretty major gap. SMU only brought back 16.9 of its 73.8 points per game, and only 40 of the 165 games started. And of course, Nuttall had 29 of those 40 starts, and all but really 10 of the points per game returning. That's a lot. You know, even in college basketball where rosters are small, I mean, you're talking about you lost your top four scorers, you lost five of your top six scorers, you lost four starters, you really lost, you know, an early option off the bench. Even though Tristan Clark was hurt most of the season, you know, he was still up there as a contributing player. Obviously, the Weathers twins were massive for the team last season. And so Lanier comes in. You have no high school recruiting class. You have only one returning starter and a couple other guys that played some minutes here and there. Obviously, talking about Zurich, Jalen Smith, and Toto. And you've got to find a way in a short period of time to build that. And there have been mixed results, mostly on the negative side. I would say 10 wins with three regular season games remaining is not where anybody wants to be. You know, there were some perceived good gets in the transfer portal. Obviously, you bring in a Samuel Williamson that was a five-star McDonald's All-American. He just hasn't quite played up to that. He has looked more like that recently, especially that win against East Carolina was probably the best full game that he's put together. You then have, you know, a former four-star, number one recruit out of the state of Iowa, Xavier Foster. Well, he's barely played. He was coming off an injury. Coach kind of said that that's not really the issue. Not really sure why he's not really playing. But, you know, that's a piece that has a bunch of years of eligibility left that can still be something for you. Also, Keon Ambrose Hilton was a former four-star recruit. He's kind of come into his own a little bit lately. And then FAODG, you know, at UTEP and came in coming off a Sun Belt Newcomer of the Year honor his lone season at Troy. And he's really picked it up late. I remember early he could not get anything to fall around the basket. He's got his points per game average up to double digits. Just a consistent rebounder for SMU. But, you know, a lot of the other pieces were young, either hadn't played at all and were trying to find playing time, or had played a little bit at maybe, I hate the term, but a lesser conference, lesser school situation. And they haven't all gelled as well as I think maybe there was the hope that they would. I think there are a lot of factors in that. I think you can certainly put blame on the head coach and the coaching staff. I think you can put blame on the players. And I think you can put some blame on some outside factors, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, to be 3-7 in the first 10 games, they lost four straight. That brutal loss to Jackson State that lost all 12 of their other non-conference games. They then go into Hawaii. They beat Iona. They beat Utah State. They're beating Hawaii and managed to let that one slip away. Come out. They beat Tulsa by 25 in the conference opener. And then you have that let up of the 30-point losses to both Houston and UCF on the road. You know, it's just been hard sledding. I think, you know, Houston obviously is the cream of the conference. They're the best team by leaps and bounds. Memphis is obviously very good. I think this is probably the most competitive from top to bottom that this conference has been in a few years. You know, I think if you look at the last couple years, it was kind of SMU, Houston, and Memphis, and then kind of everybody else. You know, I know Cincinnati's been up at the top of the conference before. Wichita State had that one really good season. You know, but you look at the conference, you know, Houston has 14 wins, Memphis 11, Tulane and Cincinnati 10, Temple 9, Wichita State 7, UCF 6, East Carolina, South Florida, and SMU all have 5. SMU split with East Carolina. They play South Florida on Saturday with a win in hand. And, you know, it's just been weird that, you know, I don't think there are the consistent will show up and win type games that this conference has had. You know, even the second Tulsa game went to overtime up there on the road. And so I think you add that into a factor, and it's just been tough. You know, and that's not to say that you shouldn't have higher expectations. That's not to say that this season hasn't been a major disappointment. I think that's maybe to say just that the season hasn't been a total failure in a lot of ways. I think, unfortunately, because we don't like to be patient and because we do know what success looks like, it's hard to say, well, let's see what happens in year two. Let's see if there's that step up. Let's see what this group does when you really only lose, I believe, 3 players. I think Nuttall, ODG, and Frank are the only 3 that run out of eligibility. You know, obviously, I think everybody would like to see them bring in a true point guard. I think Jalen Smith could possibly be a very good point guard if he is given that role and given a full offseason in this offense to work on that. But we don't like to wait. We know to go from 24 wins to 10, and I'm not sure if there's another win left on this schedule, is frustrating. But going to try and get into some positive things when we come back. And this is the Pony Stampede podcast, and we'll be back right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Pony Stampede Contest podcast, where we try and make a little sense of this SMU men's basketball season. I think starting with the tournament in Hawaii, I think you have to note that this team has shown improvement. It hasn't maybe been consistent and maybe hasn't been enough to move the needle a lot, but I don't think there's a way you can watch some of their games now versus what they were putting on the court in November and early December and not see a big difference there. I think that's one sign of a little bit of hope. I think these are the numbers that I thought were really interesting when I put it together. Is SMU has lost 7 games by 5 or fewer points. 4 of those have come in conference. If those are wins instead of losses, this is a 17-11 team with a conference record of 9-6. Not only would they be 9-6, but you take the teams that they would have beat in those close games, and they're up to number 4 or 5 in the conference standings. That, if they're in that situation, this is a completely different conversation. Still probably not going to make the tournament, but, you know, might have a better chance of at least getting to day 2 of the conference tournament, building some momentum. So that's understandable. But you also have to look, SMU has won 5 games by 5 or fewer points. And if those were losses, that drops them to 5-23 and 2-13 in the conference. Now, with everything the conference looks at, SMU is technically 3rd from the bottom in the conference standings, since they have the head-to-head win against South Florida. So it's not a big difference, but that would drop them to just above Tulsa in the conference standings without any chance of moving up. You know, right now they've got a chance with a win here and a win there to move up the standings. They would kind of be in a steady locked position down there. You know, asked Coach Lanier, you know, Sunday's win got them to 10 on the season. It avenged a loss. Kind of asked him if that hitting that 10 win mark meant anything. Here's what he said in quote, "It's never been about a number. It's about the group. I think somewhere along the line, it was pretty obvious that we were not going to get an at-large bid, right? We're in a league that I don't know if we're a multi-league bid league right now. I don't know how that's going to play out. Houston is definitely going to be up there on a one or two line. And, you know, Memphis will still have a chance, maybe. I don't know. I don't follow Joe Lunardi anymore now that I'm a head coach. I used to be all over that stuff, but I don't know. But if we had 17 or 18 wins, we're still not getting an at-large bid, right? So it's more about how much better can we get each day and how much better can we play each game and just worrying about that and nothing else. Whatever that number turns out to be, then so be it. But we've still got to keep moving the needle." I thought that was interesting, even more so when he brings up having 17 or 18 wins when I put the numbers together and wins in those close games would put them at 17. You know, I think he's right. If this team was 17 and 11, fourth or fifth in the conference, that's not going to get an at-large bid. Maybe an NIT bid. I don't know. Probably not even there. So you're probably not going to be in a postseason position anyway. So you've got to, like he said, you've got to take those steps forward. Well, I think Sunday was a big one. I think taking an ECU team that you maybe let one slip away and really ended up being a 7-point loss, probably was closer than that. Again, throw that into the mix with those other numbers. There's your 18th win in Fantasyland. But I think that was big to at home against a team you lost to not just scrape by, but that was a pretty convincing win. You know, like I said, I think Samuel Williamson had one of his best games. Odigi had a great game. Zurich facilitated, I mean, 10 assists from Zurich. I think if you said that at the beginning of the season, nobody would have believed that he would have a 10-assist game. So I think that's part of the growth. I think Saturday's game at USF is a big test. I think that's a very winnable game, but this team has not been good on the road. Like, not just bad, but really bad on the road. You look at their road record, they're 1-9 on the road. You know, they're 7-8 at home, they're 2-1 at neutral sites, and really, one of those, that neutral site loss was to TCU in Dickies Arena in Fort Worth. Throw that into the away category, they're 1-10 on the road. This is a chance to win a road game. This is a chance to get a season sweep of a team. They have one of those with Tulsa, but that's it. You know, this is a chance to maybe solidify moving up in the standings going into the conference tournament a little bit. It would also be the first time all season to get back-to-back conference wins and only the second time all season to win back-to-back games. I think there's a lot there that can be achieved with a good showing down in Tampa. You know, I know a lot of people weren't necessarily thrilled by the Lanier hire from the beginning, and then obviously the start of the season and really the whole season hasn't done too much to change those minds. You know, a lot of the posts I see are, seems like a really great guy, not sure how good of a coach he is. And I think some of that still remains to be seen. I think you've got to give him year two, just for so many reasons. I don't think it sends a very good message to fire a guy after year one. I think you take a step backwards if you fire him, players will leave, whoever you bring in will be in the exact same position of trying to really fill the roster through the transfer portal and bring a bunch of different pieces from different places and try and bring them together. I think this offseason is a chance for this group to really gel through a full offseason. I think it's a chance for one or two kind of key pieces to be brought in and really solidify a couple things, and just kind of see where this team is and what it looks like next season. That's not fun. Rebuilds aren't fun. But I will bring this up. SMU won 30 games in the 2016-17 season. They were AAC regular season and tournament champions, made the NCAA tournament. That was the fourth of four straight win seasons of at least 25 wins. In the season since, SMU has gone 17-16, 15-17. They had the 19-11 year, and then were 11-6 in the COVID-shortened season. Then they bounced back and won 24 games last year. I think the 24-win team from last year obviously was a lot about the Weathers twins coming in, but was also a little bit of the team kind of finding itself a little bit. And I think there's a chance that this group can do that next year. I think a lot of people were kind of done with Coach Jank, kind of felt like he had been around too long, and kind of let the program slip a little bit. Obviously, there's been a lot of that put on Rick Hart as the athletic director as well. And, you know, if you go back in time and 3 years ago do that, who knows what the last 3 years and this year look like. There are no time machines, so I think you have to understand where this group is. And we'll see. And I think it's interesting, you know, coaches brought it up, the players have brought it up. You know, there's really not any infighting. Coaches talked about how this team comes back to work no matter what the result is. And I think when that's kind of the storyline, I think you can question the authenticity of it a little bit. Well, why do they keep bringing this up over and over again? But with this group, I tend to think it's true. You know, Samuel Williamson was talking about the other day about, you know, making a run in the conference tournament. I don't see that happening, but the fact that they kind of have that belief and have that goal, I think as a fan is a good thing. I think you'd maybe rather a team that maybe doesn't have as good of players, that works hard and has this record, than I think a team that maybe has better players and just isn't working hard and is giving up on each other and the team. You know, I don't know. It's frustrating. It's hard to put a finger on it. We might not have answers until, you know, next season gets rolling, and that's frustrating. excuse me. You know, I've been rambling for 20 minutes now, and I still don't have a really good answer on it. But I think perspective is key. I think you've got to kind of understand what the situation was coming in. I think you've got to give some credit for some strides that have been taken this season. And I think you've got to have a little hope and optimism for what can be done this offseason. And then, yeah, if it doesn't next year, if you're in the same situation next season, then, yeah, then a change needs to be made. I'm not quite ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater just yet. That might just be me being too optimistic, but I'm not quite on the gloom and doom side of things. But like I said, Saturday's game at South Florida is, I think, a really big one. I think it's a chance for this group to take a step forward, win a big road game, win back-to-back games, and take a step forward in the standings to maybe give them a shot to get it to day two of the conference tournament. It's on the road, so I will be at home watching it with you guys, but jump on the message board. Let's talk during the game. PonyStampede.com 24/7. This is the Pony Stampede podcast. Like, subscribe, and get it wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.